found in opposition to nature religions. And by that fact, we in Christianity, of course, have a Christmas festival at one of the solstices, and we have also Easter with the spring in our northern hemisphere, at least, that we also hook up with a full moon angle. But historically, all through our history, these three religions that, to some extent at least, have their source in the Old Testament, for all three, that is, to some extent, they are in opposition to nature religions. That's the first thing in this theory thing. And then as part of that theory thing, the other half of it is that you see in the richness of the Old Testament and in the wonder of the New that we are related to God in His creation. We are His creatures. We do praise Him with the voices that are part of creation. We are rejoicing in the community of people that He has brought together as His people. And we know Him in the midst of His works, also in nature. And the songs of the Old Testament, whether of the Psalms or of those songs of Isaiah or the illustrations in Jeremiah and so on, are rich in the context of nature around us. And that God does refresh His people with this wonder of nature. In fact, the image of fulfillment in the Old Testament is a man, every man under his own fig tree. So I'd even join a space that's yours, a piece of ground, of having it in freedom, of being able to have neighbors. And as you remember from what you've learned in your catechism, that when we speak of daily bread, we think of this whole thing that makes life worth living. Good neighbors, good friends, chaste and happy husband and wife, a family that's living together in joy. The sense of the goodness of nature around us. It's all part of our daily bread. This first part, we can say very clearly, is throughout the scriptures that God is the God who is the creator. But He is the creator who is found in His mighty works of redemption in history. The exodus of the people of Israel out of captivity. And He is the one who has seen their sorrows, and He's heard their cry, and He's come down to deliver them and to bring them up out of the land of bondage and to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. You see where nature comes into the picture. In the fulfillment and in the promise, this too is there. In the New Testament, we know that we groan with the whole creation, that this creation is not the final word of God, that it is a fallen creation. We see in the Old Testament, and the New Testament keeps this theme. And yet in the midst of this creation, we are rejoicing. We know a gladness. We have a sense of goodness. Paul can say that God has refreshed man, giving him the seasons, and that in the seasons He's revealed Himself to all men, as he says in Acts, for example. That this whole variety and wonder, that no 2 days are alike and no part of one day, this is all part of God's goodness to man, that He doesn't leave us dull and bored with sameness. Now you're going back over the prairies, for example, and I hope you enjoy them too, just like the mountains. They have their word. There's a tremendous expansiveness, the horizons. I always feel when I travel through the night on the prairies that I'm on the rim of the world. The stars are just all over you. And I hope you have that now as you're going back night and day, and that you'll enjoy it. Wherever we are, there we are surrounded by a God who furnishes us with all things so richly to enjoy. Now, in a practical sense, what I wanted to say was this. We live in a country that believes that it's a part of every citizen's right to own a piece of land. We have, to back that up, what we call a Homestead Act, that any lands which are free can be homesteaded. And under the Homestead Act, you are permitted to own a piece of land for recreational purposes. All of you can have something that you can call your own, that you can develop together with other friends, that you can have a little summer colony in. And I think especially when we've lost the village, but in the inner city today, we cannot hope to recapture this kind of relationship. We need summer colonies. You will become married. You'll have children. Those children deserve to have more fathers and mothers than just you and your wife, because no children are so much like their parents that there aren't vast areas of their persons that are satisfied by relationships with other people. We have such a summer colony ourselves. It's up 7 miles above Hovland, 25 miles above Grand Marais, 165 miles north of Duluth, 300 miles even up from my home up there. And we pay $40 and $90 for 40 acres in that area for our land. The land is second growth timber. It's only worth a few dollars. But the, all the lumber companies have an understanding that anyone who bids on any deserted tax land for recreational purposes, none of the lumber or power companies will bid against you. They'll allow you to get it. So you get it for $90, which is the basic minimum. With that property, you can build your own cabin of the trees that are on it. You can notch, you can set up, you can put up your own cabin. What we did, we took down cedar and we took them to a mill, and the mill cut the cedar up into halves, so we used them halves. And I'm not a carpenter, I'm not clever, but these, I can also hammer these 20-penny spikes with a sledgehammer, and that's what we used to put them up vertically. And it wasn't a tough job. I don't like heights, so my wife and my oldest daughter put on the roof. I didn't like to get up there. They did that. The kids did the floor. And the floor is all important. It's to get the posts, and we just used regular cedar posts, and they'll last for years and years and years. And we put the posts down to make sure we got them even. You tie strings together amongst them and a leveler, and just be careful you've got those posts even all on, because it's nice to have an even floor when you're through. And then we cantilevered it out right over a cliff, and right below us is a waterfall on a little creek, and that has a lovely area there. And then to our right, we have a huge river. We own both banks of that, and some lovely waterfalls, many times the size of this one here. We swim in these waterfalls. It's tremendous swimming. And as we sit right on our porch, we can look out over Lake Superior. I had to cut out about 1,000 trees to see it, but it's there. And you look out over Lake Superior for miles and miles, and late in the summer and early fall, we go up there. As the boats come in closer to the shoreline, we can see the oar boats as they go back and forth at night. But it's beautiful, and all this for very small cost. My total lumber, for instance, for my house cost me about $340. And this is something that you can raise and you can do. You can do it together with others. And that's what we have. We have the Hongs. He's on the faculty up here too. And comes up every summer, or his wife. His wife is coming up this next week. We have the Rumsteads, a very dear person who's our favorite pastor. We have my cousin Don, who was formerly pastor Paul Fanning and is one of the greatest fathers that the Lord ever put on this earth. So all our kids had a chance to have him as their father. And a kind of zany, funny guy up there and full of crazy songs, and they all loved him. And then we have another cozy bear of a man, probably different from the rest of us again, easygoing and chuckly, by the name of Norman Berenson. So the kids relate to all these different parents, and they get all of them. And this you can do. You can get a colony going of friends as you get a little older that you'd like to see, like to live with a few months of the year or a few weeks of the year. You can go up and down for a few days. Now I only get up there in all. The most I ever get up there now is 4 or 5 days a year. I got in one day now in June, and I hope to get in a couple days again this fall, and perhaps get up there Christmas for a day or two. But this you can do. If you don't want to put in that much money, like $90 for 40 acres right off the bat, and you don't have that, all those wonderful lakes up in that whole wilderness, every year, more of them are opened up. Like Birch Lake opened up, which is a twin to Vermilion, and it's on between Ely and Lake Superior. And that has a beautiful shoreline. It's a lovely clear water lake. You can drink the water. And the canoe trail goes through there, and yet it's now been opened up for cottages. So you can have a 100-foot frontage and a 200-foot depth for about $25 a year. And you have to pay that every year. And this is a kind of used price. You get a 49-year lease, so that you've got it for 49 years, and that's as long as most of you expect to live anyway. And that's from this age on, so that you have that. You can renew it after 49 years, for that matter. This is under the Homestead Act. Under the Homestead Act, you do have to make improvements within a period of time to prove that you really are using this piece of property for yourself, for your family, for your own enjoyment, and not just developing in order to get a resale on it. So that within a 4-year period, you have to put in, is it $500, Paul? Do you remember how that Homestead Act works? Something like that. $500 worth of improvement in 4 years. Or $400 worth of improvement in 5 years, one way or the other. I know the way we usually figure out, all of us have been in this, and we've got a lot of friends who've done this. The architect who built this, who planned this whole thing, he took this plan from my fireplace. My fireplace didn't cost me anything. We made it out of car tops, and we got the car tops for nothing from the man with whom we buy our oil and gas up there. This cost us $1,220. That's just bad for the village. But mine isn't nearly that big, and it doesn't look that nice, but it looks fun. And it has four sides, and it's made out of car tops. And you can make that kind of a simple fireplace for yourself. It's much cheaper. No comparisons over against having to build up a whole stone fireplace. But as I recall, what he's paying for his property out on Lake Superior on Chicago Bay is $25 a year, now $50 for his, because he's in a high-cost area where they figure they are expensive homes. So they've upped it on him a little. But back on the other lakes, it's still $25. And I think it's $400 improvements you have to make in 5 years. Now, that includes your labor, so that once you've dug out a well and you've got yourself a little shack up there for weekends, you've got it. It's tremendous what it does for you in doing it. You know, just to do it together is the best thing my family ever did. And it's been the best thing for them. We've had one burn down because we let anyone use ours for nothing that wants to. And it's kind of stupid because some people figure as long as they're not paying anything, it isn't worth anything. So they get a little careless. And when these people burned our cabin down, which we loved very much, it was a winterized cabin fully and was useful in winter too. Our kids were just heartbroken because it was their home. And right at once they had a prayer session. And they prayed that God would ease these people in the terrible guilt and trouble they must feel. And of course, God always hears the prayers of little children, as we know, because that's what Jesus says. They get his ear right away. And he got their ear real fast on that one because the people called up and said, wasn't it good we burnt down your cabin for you when you weren't there? So they made they had a great deal of peace in it. It sort of seemed funny to us, I'll admit, that they could feel that casual about it. But anyway, they were happy that it burnt down. We weren't. I was glad, too. I wouldn't want to be in a cabin that burnt down. I'd rather not have had it burn. But we've got a nice, lovely new one that's entirely different and a lot of fun. And we've done this over the years together. And this you can do. Now, I just want to say that because it isn't something you've got to travel 1,600 miles for. Now, a lot of people think, I didn't have him say this, but you know, when Rich said that about Washington, you notice there wasn't any particular response from the crowd. You know why? There's nobody from Washington here. That's the problem. We have a few. Steve, are you from Washington?
Yeah, Richland.
Richland. Who else is from Washington? Well, you see, how much noise can he make, rah, rah, in this great state when there's one guy? We got a couple. How many are from Minnesota? That's what happens up here all the time, to discuss the people from Washington, you see. Yeah, Wisconsin is the second strongest state for us. But anyway, this is something you can do and that your government permits you to do. And that you're missing something, I think, if you don't do. So plan on doing it, because this is what gives your family satisfaction and you satisfaction. And it isn't how much time you can spend there that makes it great, because it lives with you. You go to sleep on it. Lots of times when I used to have tense days, and I only got up there a few days a year, I just dream I was out there with casting the old line out into the pool for the trout, and I'd go to sleep, you know. Or just remember how it is to sit back in that waterfall and rub your shoulders around. No, and you just go to sleep. It's wonderful that way. And you've got something you own yourself. And when you live in an inner city, you're never perhaps going to own anything yourself. You're going to live in apartments. Now, in Europe, this is what they're doing everywhere. Everywhere in Europe, they're living in apartments in cities. But they're all buying a piece of ground as near to the ocean as they can afford. And they call it an ocean cottage when they still got to walk another mile and a half to the ocean. But they do it. And then they retire in those, you see? They don't retire in the apartments. Of course, in Europe, they got it set up, at least in Scandinavian countries, they got it set up so you retire at twice the salary you made when you were working. But you don't retire until you're 70. You don't enjoy it so long. But when you do retire at 70, you get twice what you made before. So they can kind of look forward to having it kind of nice. They live in these little cabins and so on. But you do need some place that's your own. Crowded Europe, much more of an urban area than us, has learned to live much more peacefully with it by having some of these things. You can have it. Okay. Let's ask some questions or bring up some issues as you'd like on how are you going to use God's creation. All right. First of all, what's something you've got wherever you are to enjoy that God has created? The finest thing of all. What is it? Each other. Okay. Girls, boys, too. A friend, right? A friend. A friend. Love. Yeah. Friendship. That's the first thing you've got. And you know, I used to ask in our leadership schools about talent. And people hand back, they didn't have any talent. They meant they couldn't wiggle their ears or stand on one hand, that sort of thing, you know, as if that was a talent. And I'd hand it back to them. I said, you think it's true. Everyone here's got one talent. Everyone here's got one talent. And I'd make them sit there with it till they could see it. And what's the talent? You've got the talent to be friendly, to build each other up, to be a friend. Everyone of us has got that talent. And that's the biggest thing there is in life. Since that's something we can all have, fortunately, it's the biggest thing. And that you can talk to people who've made a lot of money and they'd give anything if they had a friend. We got one fellow down where Paul Fanning lives. His name is Gornitsky. He's the pastor at Central Lutheran Church. All he does is try to be a friend of the rich people because they don't have any friends. So at least they can talk to somebody. And that's all he's doing. Church pays him for just doing that, to be a friend. But you can be a friend, and that's the biggest thing of all. And that you can have anywhere. But with a few friends, you can develop something like this and use God's creation to refresh yourself. And I think every one of us needs some place that's our own, that's private, that we can feel is ours. And I'm so grateful that our government permits this. Out here where land is terribly expensive, it isn't so easy. But back where we are, it's possible for everyone. How many of you make $90 a year, for example? Quite a few of you, I'll bet, already. And it isn't going to be long before you make that much a month, you know. And you can always save $90. The first thing my kid said when we came back from Europe, you've got to buy more land. So I went up the tax sale and I bought 4 quarters more, $90 each, $360. We have a beautiful twin falls on it that are 20 feet high. And we have another river that runs right through the 440. And I kept one of them, and the other three gave away to friends of mine that I hope their children will develop. So we have another place for the kids as they grew up. This is 2 miles away from the property we own, and we figured we'd like to own so we wouldn't get crowded. And nobody's going to live that close to us except people we know. So we'll still have privacy in terms that our nearest neighbors will be our own family 2 miles away. The next neighbors after that are about 4 miles away. And it's nice to have a little living room once in a while, get out of it all. And that you can have in Minnesota. It's one of the few places you can. In Cook County, which is about the same size as Sjælland, the largest island of Denmark, on which 2 million people live, Cook County has 3,000 people. And you got 2 million people in the same amount of space over in Denmark. And of course, you want to pick something like New York, of course. They've got less space for New York than we got for Cook County, and how many million? It's one of the bigger counties in Minnesota. But you can get away, and you can have places like this. And you do own Holden Village. This belongs to you, but you don't own it, who does? It's yours. And you can keep coming back and use this if you want to. The only thing is it's a distance and it's expensive. And you can set this other up on your own and have people you love to see that refresh you and make you laugh and make you forget yourself and give you excitement of ideas. And that isn't hard to find. There are people like that everywhere. Got something you'd like to say now? Girls. You want to talk about girls over there? Last night we had a computer dating over here. You people don't need that anyway. When you get older, you might be glad for it. Right now, you don't. But one thing you've gotten out of this trip, that may not be a girlfriend, you don't have to worry about that, but you've gotten the fun of boys and girls together, haven't you? And that been fun, isn't it? That's been one of the great things. I bet you remember that morning senior. Yeah, listen. Sure. Well, that's right. And our greatest theologian in this century has now been translated into English on the longest footnote in the history of scholarship. He has about 290 pages in 10-point type in German on male and female made he them. In the image of God made he them. And he shows why it's always dull and boring when it isn't male and female. And that doesn't mean we got to be married to enjoy it, but it doesn't mean we need the fellowship of the Christian church. For we love each other and accept each other in these relationships like you are in this trip. That's one thing about a sauna. How come you haven't enjoyed the sauna? How many of you have gotten in it since you've been here? You got a cold from it. They're supposed to cure colds, not get them. No, one of the great things about the sauna is giving each other a rub down. Did you hear Charlie on that, Charlie King? Oh, this you ought to enjoy. What are some more of the things that God gives you for free here? Can you get that back home? Maybe you get your church to build a sauna, huh? Get them working on it. Then Saturday night, you can invite everybody in there. You know, all pagans can come to a song. Get them all in. Are there some other things you might learn from this that you can do back in that inner city or Excelsior besides getting a sound?
Get something like a lift.
Get something like a lift. Now, this front of Grace Luther in Eau Claire. There's a fairly large church of over 5,000. They've got lots of places right in their church to put in a lift.